You have your Bibles this morning and would like to open up with me. I'm in Matthew chapter 11 for a beginning place. And I want to look at a couple of things Jesus said towards the end of Matthew chapter 11. In about verse 20 or so, Jesus is talking to some people and he is upbraiding some cities. He mentions several cities here that such as Chorazin and Bethsaida, Tyre and Sidon, Capernaum. And he mentions, he says that if the city of Sodom would have had the same mighty works performed in it that I did here among these cities, he said the city of Sodom would remain unto this day. And he is sort of chastening are speaking against these cities to their chagrin that Jesus performed many miracles there and many great works among those cities that he traveled in his region. And he said, but yet the people did not repent. And so in spite of the fact that they saw Jesus there and they saw the mighty works that he performed, he said they did not repent of their evil works. And he's chastening them, and he speaks against them, and he says, if Sodom would have seen the same works that you've seen, they would still remain to this day, the city of Sodom. Now, I'll tell you, that's saying something, isn't it? That's really saying something. So he's speaking about those cities, and then in verse 25, he says this, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Jesus says that there are some things that have been hid from some people. And he actually thanks his heavenly Father out loud. He verbally out loud thanks his heavenly Father for hiding some things from the wise and the prudent. This world's filled with people who would consider and describe themselves as being wise and very prudent and having great knowledge. But Jesus says, Father, I thank thee that you've actually hid some things from many of those kind of people, but yet you have revealed them unto babes. You see, sometimes it's good that you and I are sort of like adolescents in a way. Sometimes it's good that we don't seem so mature when we're in the presence of Christ. And there are places in the Bible where it encourages us to come to the Lord as little children would. And so there's many senses in which there's aspects of this world that we would want to leave behind. And then when we approach Christ, we would want to approach as a little child. But I love the fact that Jesus thanks his Father and he says, you have hid some things from people who consider themselves to be wise and prudent. I promise you, they're not wise and prudent in the eyes of the Lord. This is how they describe themselves, as being wise and prudent. But Jesus says, I thank you, Father, that you have hid these things from them, but yet you've revealed it unto babes. And then we learn something very important here. And he says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. In other words, the Lord chose to do this. It was of the Lord's mind and of his purpose and of his counsel to hide these things from people who would consider themselves to be wise and prudent. So God hid some things. And then Jesus expands on this a little bit more and he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. One of the reasons I believe that that statement is so important for God's people is because it teaches us that there is a certain amount of revealing that must take place for anyone to be able to know God, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know God the Father, to know our Lord, a revealing has to take place, and it has to be revealed by the Lord Himself, not by you and I or someone else. To me, this is a very important point in the Scriptures that we learn about this, is that there are things such as knowing the Lord, being introduced and knowing the Lord, that only God can do. And you and I cannot interrupt that process. We're not going to change it up, though we would like to. Though we wish we sometimes could introduce people to the Lord. I have a lot of people that I know of in this world that I love very dearly, as you do as well. And many times, don't we have the thought in our mind and in our heart, I wish I could introduce them to the Lord. You see, a lot of our people that we love, and a lot of them are natural family members, and we have people we're very close to and we love very dearly, and we see them going down this little path of life, and it makes us say, I wish I could introduce them to the Lord. I wish I could show them the things that I see in the Lord's house and in the Lord's kingdom. I wish I could just let them feel and let them experience the things that my soul feels as I'm in the presence of the Lord in the worship service in His house. I know every one of us have people we wish we could reveal these things to. But Jesus says, you're not going to reveal it to anyone. It's going to be my Father who will reveal me unto anyone. And you're not going to know the Father except I reveal Him unto you. So it's very interesting that we learn this. And I think about a time just a couple of chapters over in chapter 16. I think about a time when Jesus Christ is with His disciples and He asks this question. He says in verse 13, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and He asked His disciples, He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And of course, men began to give different answers, such as John the Baptist. Some said Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They gave various answers. But then Jesus, He narrows down the focus and He says, but whom say ye that I am? And of course, we know who it was that answered. Out of all the people there and those disciples there, it was Peter that stood up and answered. And Peter says, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But did you remember what Jesus said to Peter when Peter answered that? He answered correctly. Do you remember what Jesus said? He says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, you had it right. You answered correctly, Peter. But you are in a very blessed condition because the fact that you were able to answer correctly, you are blessed because of that, because my Father, which is in heaven, is the one that has blessed you to be able to answer correctly and to understand truthfully and know who I am. You see, if you and I were to go around in the world today and we were to ask people this very same question, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Do you know you would get a lot of different answers? You'd get a lot of various answers, and some would be right, but many would be wrong. Just like some say here, you'd have a lot of some says today, and they would just sincerely be wrong. But the ones that were able to answer correctly, such as Peter did, you know what we could say about them? That they're in a blessed condition because our Heavenly Father is the one that revealed that answer to them. In other words, it wasn't you or I or someone else that taught them who Jesus Christ is. And it's very important to understand how it is that any of the Lord's little children come to this precious understanding. It's because it's been revealed to you. So that's just something that's always good to keep in our minds and in our hearts and to recognize that. Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, says your flesh and blood, nobody's revealed it to you but my Father that's in heaven. And He says, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you know there's a lot of some sayings today that actually believe that the Lord built his church upon Peter, that Peter is the foundation of the church? They really sincerely believe that in their hearts. You know, the word Peter and word Cephas, it means stone or pebble. And what did Jesus say? He says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." But you know, I have never believed that Peter is the foundation of the Lord's church. I never have. And I don't think that he is. I know there are people that sincerely believe that Peter is the foundation of the Lord's church. But I mean, I appeal to your reasonable mind this morning. Just look a few verses down. Look around verse 21. Just a few verses down from there. It says that at that time Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. And then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But the Lord turned around and he said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Does that sound like someone the Lord's going to base his church upon? Someone who just a few moments later he says, "Get behind me, Satan." He says, "You don't understand what you're saying." He says, "You are an offense unto me because you're not savoring the things of God properly, but you're savoring the things that be of men." I don't think Jesus is going to base his church upon the man named Peter. Now, as much as the Lord loved Peter, and he still loves Peter, as much as you and I will see Peter one day, we'll speak to Peter one day. Isn't that going to be lovely? It's going to be great to see the Lord, and we're going to all be kneeling and pray down and praising God, and we'll be singing hymns in glory, and we'll be before the Lord, but we'll also see people such as Peter. We'll get to praise and worship with him. That'll be a great day. But as much as the Lord loves Peter, I don't think the Lord based his church upon Peter. You know, also, I think about this. Just a few short hours before the Lord was going to be crucified on Calvary's cross, Peter said a statement similar to, "Well, I'll go with you wherever you go." And the Lord told Peter this. He says, this is at the end of his 3-year ministry now. He's about to go to the cross. And he tells Peter, he says, "When thou art converted," this is in Luke chapter 22, "Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Peter's not even converted yet. He's not converted gospelly. Oh, he's a child of the King. He has eternal life. He's been born of the Lord's Spirit, but he's not converted gospelly yet. And I don't believe that's going to be someone that the Lord is going to build his church upon, do you? Because what happened just a few short hours after that, Peter denied the Lord 3 separate times. You remember that? Does that sound like someone you want to base the whole church upon? Is Peter the rock? Is he the foundation? I don't think he is. Peter's not the rock in the foundation of the church, but I'll tell you what I believe the rock that Jesus is going to base the church upon is the fact that it is his heavenly Father who has revealed unto Peter who Jesus is. The fact that God reveals to every one of his little children who he is and who his son is, now there's a rock you could build a church on. There's something that you can depend upon. There's something that's not going to ever change. God will never, ever get it wrong. He will never, ever miss revealing those crucial facts and truths to even one of his little children. Can you see the wisdom of God in that he is revealing himself to his children through his own accord and through his own power. And he's not relying on little weak, sinful people such as me, the gospel preacher. Can you see the wisdom of God? Now, if it was up to me, if God is building his church on the preaching of the gospel and he's relying on the gospel to save all of his children, you can see how there's a lot of opportunity for things to not go well. And it wouldn't. But God, in his ultimate, infinite wisdom, knows better than that. He's built the church. The rock that the church is built on is the fact that God reveals himself to every one of his little children. In chapter 22, I'm going to turn over there just for a moment. Verse 41, the Pharisees were gathered together and Jesus asked them, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they say unto him, "The son of David." And he saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord," in all capital letters, "said unto my Lord," with a capital L, "Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." How is it that David wrote that? Jesus is quoting from Psalms 110, verse 1, that David wrote many, many years before. And David wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, how is it that David, 1,000 years ago, wrote in spirit, calling me Lord? Jesus is saying he's writing about me. He says, how does David call him Lord when he writes in Psalms 110, verse 1? And he says, if David call him Lord, how is it that he's his son? You see, Christ just asked him, whose son is he? What do you think of Jesus Christ? Whose son is he? And they said, well, he's the son of David. We all know that. And Jesus says, well, if he's the son of David, and David in spirit just called him Lord, how is it that he calls him his son? How is it he is his son? In verse 46, it says, and no man was able to answer him a word. No man. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. I mean, he shut them all down with a simple question. He says, whose son is Christ? And they gave an answer. He says, well, he's the son of David. You know what? That answer is right. They gave the right answer. He is the son of David. But then Christ asked them another question. He says, how is it that David calls him Lord, though? How is that? If Jesus Christ is the son of David according to the flesh, how is it David could call him Lord? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has always existed. He's eternal, and because he has always existed, and he is existed before David ever existed, and he is David's Lord, and he is our Lord. I hope every single one of us in here this morning, we should be able to answer that question Jesus asked. Jesus Christ came, how is he the son of David and yet be the Lord of David at the same time? The answer is because he's the son of David according to the flesh, but he is the father and the Lord of David according to the Spirit. I hope every one of us can answer that question. I'll tell you, none of them could. It says not a single man answered the question. He said they even stopped. They didn't even ask any more questions. They were so baffled. You know what I think happened? I think the Lord hid some things from some of those people. But he's been revealing them to babes such as you and I down through the ages. I love that. You know how the Lord's going to build his church? He's going to reveal himself unto his people, and no one is going to mess that up in any way. Satan cannot even interfere with that process. As much as he would like to, Satan cannot stop God from revealing himself to his children. I like the way that Paul wrote it in Hebrews chapter 8 when he said that God made a covenant. And I'll tell you, this is a one-way covenant. Usually covenants are between two parties, right? You have an agreement, it's called a covenant. But this is a one-party covenant. God made this covenant. He says, Here's the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. He says, I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they'll be unto me a people. God says, I will do these things. You can't place yourself or me or anyone else anywhere in that covenant. All you can see is God is doing this. And he says, this is how it's going to work. And he says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Why not? Why don't we have to go around teaching and saying, know the Lord? He gives the answer and he says, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Why is every one of God's little children going to know him? Because he's the one going to reveal himself to them. He's not relying on the puny preacher, the little puny weak preacher who makes a lot of mistakes in life. He's not relying on me. And I'm so happy to report to you this morning that he's not relying on me. It takes a great weight and a great burden off of my shoulders to know that I will fail oftentimes, but God will never fail. He will always reveal himself to every single one of his children. You know how God's going to build his church? Off of the rock. He's going to base it off of the rock that he reveals himself to his children. And not flesh and blood as being part of that. I like that. I think that's important for you and I to know. I think it's good for God's little children to know these things. So there's a certain amount of revealing that must take place from God to his children in order that we might know who he is. You know, I even think about there's a place in the scriptures where some people are going to petition the Lord and says, but we've done so and so. We have been with you. We've done these things. But the Lord is going to reply and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You thought you knew me, but you didn't because God had not revealed himself to you. He says, I've never known you. There is a lot of revelation that takes place between God and his children, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that good to know? Isn't that comforting to know that how God is going to build his family and how he's going to build his church and reveal those things to his children? Back in Matthew, where we started in chapter 11, Jesus says in verse 28, after he speaks this great truth about revealing himself and the Father unto his children, in verse 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What a precious invitation that the Lord Jesus extends to every one of his little children. Is this not a precious invitation that Jesus has offered you and I? You know, we oftentimes tend to emphasize the point concerning eternal life, and that how eternal life is not an offer. And it's not. It's not a game of chance. It's not a card game. It's not a casino game. It's not a game of chance at eternal life. But we often like to emphasize that point of how that God is the giver of eternal life to his children. And he does that. Part of that process is a revealing of himself as to who he is to every one of his little children. But here's an invitation. Here's an invitation that is good for right now, the time in which you and I live right in this world, for our lifetime. 2023, this invitation is still valid. It's still open by the Lord. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, we could begin together. We could begin sharing with one another about what some of our burdens are in life, it'd probably take weeks, wouldn't it? It'd probably take weeks if we began to share with one another what many of our burdens and our trials and our tribulations, things that are heavy upon our hearts. we could begin sharing that with each other, and it would take a long time because we all have them. That's just part of living in this world, is that we're going to have these things. This world's not just a bed of roses that we walk through dropping rose petals along life's way every single day and everything goes perfect. You know, there are people that will stand up before the Lord's people and try to tell you that the Lord expects and He wants you to have everything, and that He wants you to be rich and have all the material goods of this world, and He wants you to have every dream and every wish you've ever had. I'll tell you, that's not reality. That is simply not reality. You might deceive a lot of the Lord's little children because you'll tickle their ears with such an offer. But, you know, I like what the Scripture says. I like what God's Word says. He says life is going to be difficult sometimes. And you're going to be tired and you're going to be weary. Every single one of us in this house today knows what it feels like to be weary of burdens upon our heart. I'm not talking about the garden needs hoeing and the field needs bush hogging and the fence row needs clearing and this, that, and the other. I'm talking about burdens upon our heart. Things that weigh us down in life. Issues with our families and with our churches and with our friends and with our jobs and with school and whatnot. Burdens upon our heart that are weary and they're heavy. They're heavy and they weigh us down. But Jesus gives that invitation. He says, everyone, come unto me, all. There's room for all of us to come to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And He says, and I'll give you rest. Do you know what you and I stand in need of? And sometimes we don't even realize it because we're too busy, is we need rest. The little child of God needs rest in this world from the burdens and cares and the busyness of this world. And believe you me, our chief adversary, the devil, Satan himself, he knows how to exploit your weaknesses and to get you so caught up in this world that we lose focus on the things that we ought to be doing. One of the things that we ought to be doing as little children of God is we ought to be seeking after rest. There should be plenty room in our life to have rest together. Jesus says, if you labor and if you are heavy laden, we don't use that word laden all that much, but you know, sometimes when an 18-wheel truck driver, when they hit the road and they have a load in their trailer, what do they have? They have a bill of lading, a bill of what's been loaded in there. It's a record of what all he's carrying, and they have to have a weight also. They have to have the weight of that stuff. Jesus says, come unto me if you're heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I'm not talking about rest for our feet because we've been on our feet running and blowing and going too hard and our feet are swollen up and tired. I'm talking about rest for the soul. Jesus says, you'll find rest for your soul when you come to me. That's where rest is found, and that's where true rest is found for every little child of God. It's at the foot of Jesus. But I love that. You know, one of the last things that would come to my mind, if I'm looking for rest and I need rest, one of the very last things that would come to my mind would be, oh, well, let me find a yoke and let me put a yoke around my neck and my shoulders so I can get hitched up to a load and I can pull a load. I would never think about that. If I needed rest, I wouldn't think about trying to find a yoke to put on, would you? Can you picture, some of you, I know you've never seen it in person, but have you ever seen oxen yoked together with a big old wooden yoke that goes across their shoulders and they're strapped in and harnessed in? They pull a wagon, they can pull a big, huge saw log out of the woods, and they used to do it often. A yoke was attached to animals to pull things and to do physical work with. I would never think about putting a yoke on if I needed rest, but yet Jesus says, do that very thing. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He didn't tell us to go introduce someone to Jesus, because we can't do that. Flesh and blood cannot reveal who Jesus is, but he says we can learn about him. We can learn more about him, and we should want to do that. Jesus says you can put the yoke on of yoking yourself together with me, then you come and you learn more about me. And the more you learn about me, he says, the more rest you're going to find. You know why I like to come to the Lord's house so much every Sabbath day? It's because it brings me peace of mind, and it comforts and soothes my soul, and it gives me rest. It gives me some rest from this weary world that we're trudging through. I hope that you feel the same thing. Jesus says, take my yoke, learn of me. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. He says, and you'll find the rest under your souls. I can't help but think about the time when Jesus went to the sisters of Lazarus, was Mary and Martha. And I think about them, and you remember how that, I'm going to turn over to Luke chapter 10 for just a moment if you want to follow along. And I'm thinking about rest, and I'm thinking about being at the feet of Jesus, and you got Mary and Martha here, and in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But the Bible says that Martha was cumbered about much serving. That word cumbered is not something you and I would use today, but it means, literally means, to drag around. As if you had a chain on or a shackle on your ankle or your foot and you were dragging around a heavy weight. Dragging around. It means to be overly occupied and busy. It says that Martha was cumbered about much serving. We think about that situation and how that she came to the Lord and she asked the Lord, she says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered, and he said unto her, Martha, Martha. Isn't that interesting that sometimes Jesus says a name twice? I'm not sure that I know the significance of it, but it just seems there is a significance there. I don't really know what it is. He could have just said Martha, but he says Martha, Martha. Maybe he said it with the tone of voice like maybe my exasperated parents would have used to me sometime. David, David, what have you done? Why are you doing this? Martha, Martha. Jesus answers and he says, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. You know where Mary was at? Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Mary had stopped all the busyness of the world and was at the feet of Jesus, hearing Jesus' words. She had stopped everything. Mary was resting. Martha was working. Martha was cumbering right along. Cumbering, cumbering, cumbering. Just cumbering right along all day, every day. That's all she could think about. But Mary's at the feet of Jesus. Mary's resting for a moment. Mary's receiving comfort at the feet of Jesus. Jesus says Mary has chosen that good part and shall not be taken away. I tell you what, beloved, if I could encourage you this morning, it would be to choose the good part. Always choose the good part of being at the feet of Jesus. Bringing ourselves into places where Jesus is going to pass. Just like Zacharias did. Put yourself in the pathway where Jesus is going to be. Get down at the feet of Jesus and take a rest from the busyness of this world. Satan, if you let him, Satan will use all of the tricks in his tool bag, and he'll have you so busy that you never can catch your breath. He'll do that. He'll exploit our weaknesses to be cumbered about by many things. It's as if Jesus is trying to teach Martha a lesson here. Martha, Martha. She's cumbered about by many things. She's dragging around a load, and she's awfully caring about many things. I just see myself in Martha quite often. I understand there's been many times in my life when I got cumbered about by too many things other than serving the Lord. Serving the Lord needs to be number one in my life, in all of our lives. We need to place Him first. Isn't it a beautiful invitation, though, that Jesus has given us? Come unto me. He says, just come unto me. I picture Jesus when He says something like that, and He gives that invitation. I picture Jesus with His arms out saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Take that yoke, take my yoke and put it on you, and you learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come and learn of me, and you'll find rest unto your souls. Beloved, our souls need rest. You think our bodies need rest? Well, they do. I mean, we all understand about our bodies becoming tired and needing rejuvenating and needing rest, but our souls become the same way if we go too long without resting at the feet of Jesus. Mary is a great example, is she not? We ought to be talking about Mary more often than we do. Mary had the good sense to leave some of the other busyness alone and get down at the feet of Jesus. I'm glad that I'm here today with you. I'm glad I'm in the Lord's house with every single one of you, because we're here together. And are we not at the feet of Jesus at this moment? It feels like we're bowing and kneeling down at the feet of Jesus this moment, communing with Him. And I feel like I'm receiving rest. I feel like my soul and spirit are being built up and edified and strengthened for the journey ahead, for the continued journey of life ahead. We need that. I just think it's a beautiful invitation that Jesus has given. Something that we need to always be mindful of is that when we come to Him and we learn about Him, is that He gives us rest. I imagine as the days go by and the weeks and the years trickle by in front of us now, I believe the rest that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be even more precious to you. I say it all the time about the Lord's house here, this little Bethel spot. The world, there's a whole world of people outside just doing the everyday, daily thing. Right now, even at this moment, the world's doing its thing. But you're here in a little oasis. You're here in a little safe haven the Lord's built. Just for a few moments together, we come and we yoke our minds and our hearts and souls and spirits together, and we sit at the feet of Jesus, and He strengthens us for another week's journey. I'm glad to be here as a part of that with you, and I hope the Lord will strengthen you. I hope He will encourage you and your spirit and your soul to be strengthened to go forward throughout this coming week and always be looking for opportunities to kneel and to sit at His feet. It'll do us well, and it'll bring rest under our souls. May God bless and keep each one of you this morning.